The subject of our meditation is the Eucharist and the supernatural life. I would like to begin with a quotation from St. Peter Julian Aimard, the founder of the Blessed Sacrament Fathers. How is it, he asks, that our Lord is so little loved in the Eucharist? One reason is that we do not speak enough of it, and that we insist only on faith in the presence of Jesus Christ in the most blessed sacrament, instead of speaking about his life and his love therein. Instead of calling attention to the sacrifices which his love imposes upon him, in a word, instead of showing Jesus Christ in the Eucharist with a personal and special love he has for each one of us, how many among the best Catholics never pay a visit of devotion to the most blessed sacrament, to speak with him from their heart, to tell him of their love? They do not love our Lord in the Eucharist because they do not know him well enough. This short statement on St. Peter Julian, I agree with. I firmly believe that more Catholics, including priests and religious, are not more devoted to the Eucharist because they do not understand the life and love of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. This is my fifth year of teaching in New York, and among the courses I've been teaching is one on development of doctrine, in which I try to explain to the students how important it is not only to believe in what the Church tells us God has revealed, but to understand what we believe. I think it's this lack of understanding of what the Eucharist is that people who are otherwise good Catholics are so pathetically wanting in devotion to the Eucharist. As a backdrop for our meditation, I suggest two passages, both in the Gospel of St. John. To grasp the meaning of these passages, I believe, is to come closer to a realization of not only that the Eucharist exists, but what the Eucharist really is. In the first, John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Behind the incarnation, and therefore behind the Eucharist, is the breathtaking, ineffable love of God. And the second, when Christ made the promise of the Eucharist, I am, he said, the bread of life, He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The Eucharist and life are related as cause and effect. I would like to address myself to this panoramic subject on three levels. First, to refresh our faith on the fact that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ. This, then, is an article of our undivided and immutable Catholic faith. The Holy Eucharist is Christ. He is present, so we believe, in the fullness of his divine nature and in the fullness of everything that makes him a human being. As Catholics, we believe that there is absolutely no difference, none whatever, between Jesus in the Eucharist and Jesus, as we profess in the Creed, at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. I like to quote the act of faith in this article of faith from the Coptic liturgy. It explains in simple language the belief of the Church that her founder and Savior is here. That although he surely ascended into heaven, he never left this earth. The prayer goes as follows and is addressed to God the Father. I believe and will confess to my last breath that this is the living body which your only begotten Son, our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, took from Our Lady and the Queen of mankind, the holy, sinless Virgin Mary, Mother of God. He made it one with his Godhead, without confusion or change. He witnessed before Pontius Pilate, and was of his own free will condemned in our place to the holy tree. Truly I believe that his Godhead was not separated from his manhood for a moment, for the twinkle of an eye. He gave his body for the remission of our sins and for eternal life to them that partake of it. I believe that this is in very truth that body. Once he assumed this faith in the Holy Eucharist, that Jesus Christ is here and now and near, two wonderful corollaries follow. This means that Jesus is alive on earth and practicing the virtues that he wants us to admire and imitate. And he is here as the most dramatic manifestation of his love, in order that we might love him in some corresponding measure in return. The second level of our reflections Jesus living in the Eucharist. We can never meditate too much on the historical life of Jesus as he lived that life in first century Palestine. And it is now called first century because he lived in that age. He made it the first century. Beginning with his incarnation in the womb of Mary, through the long hidden years of Nazareth, his preaching, his miracles in Judea and Galilee, his passion that all four evangelists concentrate so upon, as though everything else before it was only a prelude, which it was. His death and resurrection and ascension to his heavenly Father. As we read these pages, they are filled with the evidence of how the divine attributes were lived out by a human being. And therefore, what all ages have told men, they would be as holy as they became godlike, now became a real, even simple possibility, because since that man was God, whatever virtues as man he practiced were the attributes of God, revealing themselves to us and inviting our imitation. And I dare say, most of the books on the spiritual life, understandably, concentrate on that life of Jesus. It's real, it is important, and it is indispensable in the pursuit of holiness. But, and with this adversity, we enter on what I fondly believe in the years and generations to come will be a discovery, especially for those chosen souls who want to know how to become holy by becoming like Jesus. And he will see his virtues practiced not only in the pages of the Gospels, but in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. At this point, I could not better recommend to all of you the man from whom I've just quoted, Saint Peter Julian Amart. you don't mind, I will read the 9 titles published and available in English, all on this profound subject. First volume, Real Presence. Second, Holy Communion. Third, Eucharistic Retreats. Fourth, The Eucharist and Christian Perfection, Volume 1. Fifth, The Eucharist and Christian Perfection, Volume 2. Sixth, A Eucharistic Handbook. Seventh, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament. Eighth, Month of St. Joseph. And ninth, In the Light of the Monstrous. I strongly recommend a man who changed my life when I first read him. What are we saying? We are saying that Jesus not only lived on earth 1900 years ago, he is living on earth today. And behind that present tense is all the implication for the following of Christ and the becoming Christ-like. Now, those who not only believe in the Eucharist, but understand what the Eucharist is, have at their constant daily disposal. This present tense is what our faith reveals to us. And by God's grace, we are enabled to make it our own. God never tells us anything. He never wastes his revelation. He always makes sure there is corresponding grace to put that revelation into practice. What does it mean that Jesus is living on earth today in the Eucharist? It means many things. He is here because he wants to be here, to teach us the virtues he is practicing. Note the present tense. The virtues he is practicing in the Eucharist, and that he wants us to duplicate in our lives. He is practicing humility of the highest degree. While on earth in visible form, he veiled his divinity, but manifested for everyone to see his humanity. So true was this, that many saw only Jesus, the man, and could not, because they would not, see Christ, who was God. But in the Eucharist, Jesus also hides his humanity. This is the glorious humanity that was transfigured on Tabor and is now resplendent in heaven and the object of awesome adoration by the angels and saints. How we need this lesson to be willing to be hidden, to be willing not to be recognized, to be willing not to be acknowledged, not to be praised, not to be honored. How our proud human hearts seek recognition. And mystery of human iniquity. We not only seek recognition for what we have and are, but sometimes we even stupidly make believe that we have and are what we are not and don't have. If humility is the willingness not to be recognized, surely Jesus in the Eucharist, he is humble in the most extreme way that even God could devise. Looks like bread, looks like wine. It's neither. It is the Son of God in human form. What a rebuke to our masked civilization. Jesus, in the Eucharist, is practicing sacrifice. He surrenders himself to the conditions of place and space. Wherever the Eucharistic elements are present, there and only there is Jesus in the Eucharist. And in the sacrifice of the Mass, Jesus time and again offers himself to his Heavenly Father for our salvation. As Pope Pius XII explained, I commend his encyclical Mediator Dei to your reading and meditation. In every Mass, Christ would again die for our sins. He is there with the selfsame flesh and blood that he had on Calvary. And the only reason he does not die is because he is now glorified and immortal. Jesus in the Eucharist is practicing obedience. The moment the priest pronounces the words of consecration, Jesus obediently comes down on the altar. Whether it is, as Augustine says, a John or a Peter or a Paul who consecrates, Jesus becomes present. Or whether it is a Judas that consecrates, Jesus becomes present. He allows himself to be placed where the priest wills. And I'm afraid that nowadays, Christ in the Eucharist is placed in places that are not, to say the least, respectful. Tabernacles, hidden, out of sight. As so many of the faithful have told me, Father, what's happened to the Eucharist? Jesus allows himself to be received by people. Who are worthy, but also by those who are not worthy to receive. How many again have told me, how can it be? And there's no answer. Almost no one in some parishes ever goes to confession. And yet it seems everyone is going to communion. Men and women known to be living lives of sin in open adultery. Jesus allows himself to be received by them too. He allows himself to come into the midst of a gathering of people that, judging by some of the histrionic celebrations that are supposed to be the Mass, that are sometimes totally preoccupied, the people, with themselves, with the noise and movement they are making, as though the Savior of the world was not right there.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.